the Lamb of God we can relate to. He is the Lamb that sending by God prepared for us. So Jesus' name is not just for us to address that He is God only. God means above men. We are human beings. So God means that He holds certain attributes, quality, or a status as God, a person as God. As you are a person, you are not just an animal. You are not dogs or cats, or we are not just randomly someone. We are a child of your of our own family. Now, believing Jesus, we are a child of God. So, this is the way to know how to relate. Your name puts you in a relationship. Our name puts us in a relationship in our family. We can enjoy the privilege of the family. If your family is well off, you have a lot of resources. If your family is not so rich, you say, we have limited resources. See, that's the difference. If your family come from other countries, they do not hold the tradition of American families. American families, they have their traditions. See, this is a difference. So identity gives us a relationship. So when we talk about the name of Jesus, it's not just randomly we think, what does that show? No, it put us into a relationship. When we know His name, we can call Him by that name. So, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, actually is a theme in the Bible throughout Old Testament and the New Testament. For many of you who do not know Bible, so this is not so familiar. But the more you read the Bible, the more this term comes up. So, this is an important title for Jesus, the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah. Messiah in the Old Testament means the anointing one. Anointing one. The anointing one is the one God put His blessing upon. In the Old Testament, there are three kinds of persons. People. The king, the priest, the prophet, the three prophets of God that has been anointed. They need anointing of God in order to execute, to do their job. The king, remember King Saul and King David and Solomon, that the prophet Samuel went to anoint them so they can start their work, their job as king. And Aaron, the high priest, all the priests in the Old Testament, they need to be anointing. Psalm 133 says, the blessing of God is just like the oil that is poured down from the head of Aaron unto his face, through his mustache, and then on his clothes. That means that psalm says the anointing process shortly, in a summary, but that also portrays the relationship among Christians, that we need to have those anointing on the priest to be operating our brotherhood and sisterhood in the church. That means the anointing office in the Old Testament has a crucial purpose, that is to give people the power and ability to do what God wants us to do. So, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings, as we just said, and He is the one now today talking about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, the Lamb actually, the priest could kill a lamb to bring the blood into the Holy of Holies, to the throne of grace, that to cleanse his own blood, his own sin, and the people he prayed for. That means to cleansing, a cleansing process. That is Jesus' title here for. Messiah has a purpose to be a priest to cleanse people's sin. So that portrays Jesus as the Old Testament, the high priest. And the prophet means communication. Old Testament prophet, Samuel, and then later on the recent prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and those other major prophets and minor prophets, these are all God's spirit breathed through them so they can communicate God's message. See, this three in Old Testament are the ones who need to be anointed in order to do God's job. Now, Jesus is called King of Kings, we said that, and also here, the Lamb of God, and also chapter 1 of John, Gospel of John is talking about he is the Word become human being, incarnation of the Word, the Logos, the Word. So he communicates, he gives us the message. So today we start to look into this important part that the whole Bible, how many books do you know? 66. Okay, let's learn how to remember that. Old Testament, 39 books, and New Testament, 27 books. How do you remember that? If you know the multiplication table, 3 times 9 is how much? 27. Right. So Old Testament is 39, and New Testament is 27. Remember this multiplication table. And 39 plus 27 is how much? How many? 66. So do you remember now? Old Testament, how many books? 39. How many in New Testament? 27. All add together. How many books? 66. Okay. Remember those. Help us to have a fun remember Bible. On the other hand, that shows that Bible is a wisdom book. Even this way, we know how to manage to remember books. How many? On the other hand, this are God's Spirit working through about 40 others. They just write down what the message God has for them. Actually, these are the written prophets, Old Testament and New Testament, and approximately 1,600 years. So all this long history of writing, actually they have only one purpose, talking about who is Jesus, yes, and his love for us. That's what we have in the beginning, John 3:16. This is the main message of the Bible. If you may, we may read it together now. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the main theme of the Bible. So we go into this theme that every story, Old Testament story especially, you see them just history over that time, we just miss the major picture because the Bible has 66 books. So each major story or minor story, actually, it can relate to God because that's what God was doing through that time, through that period, through that location to certain people. But Bible, remember, altogether is about Jesus loves us. So we must relate to those minor pages or minor stories from any of the part of those, even genealogy. You will find out they have some message for you and me to know. You say, hey, genealogy, just names. No. Are you just a name? Are you just a number?
Are you just a name?
No.
You have social security number. Are you just a name and a number?
No.
You are a person. You are valuable. You are created by God through His image. You have a mission. You have passion. You have a purpose. You have a direction. See, read Bible when you read this way, it's very different. Because God so loves the Word. The Word is not just this physical being or physical things. No! Hello, the Word is actually someone is living here. Right? Your house is just a house. Doesn't mean anything. The house must have someone living there. Otherwise, the house lost its function. Just your house. A physical being, something there. No, someone live there and work and do and have a family, and you and I live in our house. The house becomes your history, how you're growing, how you cherish the time you have in there. So that's why Jesus Christ is the one that we can see in the Bible everywhere talk about our Lord Jesus Savior and us. So there's a famous book in the story in Genesis that the promise is about the coming Lamb of God. Genesis 22. God asked Abraham to offer his beloved son Isaac as a sacrifice. God is not endorsing child sacrifice among common people. This is a picture. What are you doing? What are you doing? Who is this? Moses. Abraham. Abraham, right? And this is the angel. And who is this?
Isaac.
Abraham had Isaac when he was 100 years old. But by the time Isaac growing as a king, God said to him as a test for his father, do you want to follow me? Then bring your son to the mountain Moriah to offer, to kill, to be killed, to be sacrificed. Wow. If God asked me this question, I would say, hey, no. What, God, are you doing? What are you doing? You want me to kill my son? My son is now 33. And, about Jesus' age.
Anyway, back to the story.
That boy father is very hard. So, he had to ask this.
Do you think he's weak?
No.
Do you think you are weak, king boys?
No.
You're strong. And, actually, Isaac was obedient. He carried the wood, prepared a fire to make an altar. And already now, look at this. What is that? Hands are
right. He was already being put on the altar.
The wood he carried now become his own altar. So for him it's hard. For Abraham it's even harder.
Oh, Father God, you asked me to wait the process of having a son. Now in my old age I got him 100 years old. Now he is about 18, 16 or 17 years old. Now you want me to kill him? He has no hesitation. Making walking for several days, in his mind, he was wrestling with God.
But he already had this ready. But now, the voice from the angel said, stop, stop, Abraham, don't kill.
There is a ram a lamb prepared.
So, the historical documents of this is not just for test
Abraham's faith, obedience. No. It is a foreshadow, foretelling of Jesus Christ. God is offering His own Son for saving you and me. So that we know this is God's way to show His love through the preparation of that lamb for Abraham to kill. That shows God's preparation. So it's become a famous name, Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain, God will prepare. Anytime when God wants you to offer something, you just follow. If you're so desperate and you may lose it, somehow God will prepare enough grace for you to go through. The test sometimes is very, very crucial, but God will not let you go in despair. God has His mercy on every trying time. So that we need to see Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is always our salvation. He's always our redemption. He's always our deliverance. He's always there. As God prepared the ram or the lamb for Abraham to substitute Isaac, that He prepares enough grace for you and me to go through the test of your day, the test of your life. So, see, Jehovah Jireh down here. So, God has prepared your direction. You may see that your mission for your life, God has prepared. Your future, you know, before our son, our daughter was their birth. Me and my wife would pray for them, not only for their deliveries, but also we pray for whole life. You know, I don't know if your parents pray for you, but as a pastor, we pray for your future husband and wife to be a good person that God has for you, that your life, your marriage will be blessed. And I will pray also for you, your life will be God's preparation for you, that will be a vessel to show His glory. So this is a kind of God's way, Jehovah Jireh. He prepares for older people, parents, grandparents. I pray, like Abraham, Jehovah Jireh, He will prepare a fruitful life by the time each moment of the day you need something that beyond our strength, beyond our ability, God will prepare. God has mercy that His preparation is beyond our imagination. That's the first book of Corinthians said that. His blessing is beyond our understanding. Our ears have never heard, our eyes have never seen, and our minds have not imagined. We cannot fathom God's fruitful blessing. So pray and ask God. Our Heavenly Father is doing great things for you and me today. So make connection to the Lamb of Christ, because that He was slain as a sheep. Okay, in Old Testament, Isaiah 53 verse 7, that like lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearer is silent, so He opened not His mouth. So Jesus went through that same purpose when He was before the trials.
so many charges against him, but he answers by his silence. He did not make any of his reasons. He just answered, "You say I'm son of God? Yes, I am." That's all he said. The rest of those, he just did not answer. Through that, he suffered for us. On the cross, he only spoke 7 words. All the other or scoffs or jokes or anything provocative statements against him, he just silently there. He just forgives them. As the Chinese sermon I just talked about, the 7 sayings on the cross. The first one, "Oh God, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they did." See, forgiveness is the only main message he has for us. So, there are 5 offerings in the Old Testament. All this is a foretelling of Jesus' sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. His sacrificial process or purpose actually already foretold in the Old Testament Jewish worship process. So there are 5 of them: burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, sin offerings, guilt offerings. Grain offering obviously is from the wheat flour. All the other 4 offerings, you need to kill animals. Most of them, they kill lamb. So, the Old Testament offerings are foretelling Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, especially for the burnt offering, to show that he died, just totally surrendered on the cross for you and me. The burnt offering in the Old Testament, all that burned into ash and nothing left. So Jesus actually completely died for you and me, and he has resurrection. So his burnt offering shows his death and resurrection try to give us his life to wash to substitute for us, his blood cleansed for our sin. And peace offering. Peace is for reconciliation. When 2 countries, you know, there are nations fighting in world in different areas, this peace offering in the Old Testament is bring the peace between those Jews. They've been offended, offend God or offended each other. They need to have a reconciliation. They must offer this offering. That today, we, through Jesus Christ, through his sacrificial death, we can have a peace with him, with God. So reconciliation is through the peace offering. That all these other offerings besides the burnt offering that's being burned to ashes, all the other offerings, they have some part of the animal that those who offer and the priest, they can take that as their food. So in New Testament, we see through Jesus' blood and his body, we know that he sacrificed for us. And Hebrews 9:22 said, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." And thanks God, he offered himself once for all to remove the power of sin and death. So that by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus Christ, once for all. So through this, you know, each time when we come to worship God, what do you bring today? Do you bring anything here today? Do you bring here anything today like Old Testament? No. If you do, I will be very busy. We'll kill animals. And the church will be not so simple. Thank God today. What do we bring? Our heart. And do you bring your heart as a gift to God? Your life as a gift to God? Yeah, we should. That's the worship. Worship is offer ourselves, open our heart to, like Abraham was doing, like all the other, all the rules of Old Testament offerings. They bring something to represent themselves. By the way, when a lamb was offered, the priest always asked the one who come, what do you want this animal sacrificed for? He will tell the priest, okay, I have offended my wife and I had fight with my neighbor and so forth. I need to confess my transgressions. And the priest would say, hey, lay your hands on this animal. Your transgressions now on this animal. He would carry all your sinful heart, your sinful behavior. And then this animal would be slaughtered and prepared for the offering. Now, we come to Jesus Christ, to God, through Jesus Christ. We bring our heart, but our heart, we mean have dirty mind. Do you have a clean heart always? Do you have sometimes grudges, grumblings? Do you have sometimes hatred thoughts with your siblings? The example I had was someone, you know, very good friend, both of them, and he or she actually worked for that good friend. And she wanted to help this friend in a magazine company. And she was told, hey, I will teach you how to manage the editing. And then she left. The boss left. Good friend left. So she said, oh, she's so busy. This person said, okay, I better ask where I can get information. So she had other friends working in other companies. So she called them and said, hey, I'm now working for this magazine and I need to start editing. Can you tell me what to do and so forth? And then when it comes to a point that someone called her boss, said, hey, you have new editor here. And how come she's asking me some questions? Now the boss was so angry against this new editor. She said, hey, why would you made me shameful because I told you I can teach you and now you talk to other companies about your learning process? You just made me very shameful about you and my reputation of this company being polluted by your exposure. So she becomes so frustrated and hurt because she thought, I want to help you because you're so busy. So I learned myself. Now you said I did wrong. So before she directly talked to her boss, this new editor came to church asking the church friends, how can I get rid of this problem, of this broken relationship? Most of people say, well, you should try this, do that, except directly go to talk to her boss, asking for reconciliation, mending the broken relationship, the mutual faith, understanding already broken. They only met in the office, say hello, and then they did their own thing. Until the pastor told her, I think according to the Bible, if someone had some problem with somebody, you better pray.
pray and talk to her privately and directly. Don't talk to others anymore. After praying, asking the blood of Christ cleanse his own, her own hurt feeling, and she directly went to her boss. And they did have a good talk. And they managed to ask the blood of Christ to cleanse her own, meaning of her own way of dealing this relationship, and ask her boss to forgive her. Not directly talk to her and talk to others first. So this way, this friend, this new editor, made the friendship back to normal, and even better, because through this, her friends know she's a true Christian, and together they start to have a true way of Bible study together in that company. So saying this, I'm saying that forgiveness of Jesus Christ is not just for reading the Bible, as well know. But the problem is, how do we apply that if Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God? And offering Old Testament needs to go to pass the personal transgressions to the animal. Do we do this to ourselves? Do you have grudges? Do you have problems with your classmates, your siblings, with your parents? Do you tell Jesus, say, hey, Jesus, I put this in your hand. Would you help me to feel this in my heart and help me to have actions, talk to my father, to my mother, to my sister, to my younger brother, or to my classmates? That's what this message is about. Jesus is the Lamb of God, not only dying on the cross, not only happened in the Bible, not only being taught on the sermon, but it's got to be done in our hearts. Lay our hands on Jesus. Tell Jesus that my heart has this problem. Tell Jesus, oh, what I did was wrong. And his power of forgiveness will come to us. And Colossians 1, 13 and 14 tells us, we have redemption. Don't just redemption become history, or a thought, or a class. Sunday school class will learn so much. You have Bible studies Wednesdays now and Fridays. Don't let them just become a theory, or some knowledge you have. The Bible is just not for knowledge. Knowledge will not become your life. Your life needs to have a obedience. Obedience means you are forming your character. Life has character. You have a character. If our character in the past is, what I want to do is what I want to do. No one should bother me. Now we become what? Self-centered. We become self-sufficient. I can do what I want to do. I become my own boss. But remember, Jesus is our Lord. He's not only our Savior, He is our Lord. So that Jesus is the Lamb of God is not just John Baptist's announcement. It's not just a title. It is something we need to follow. Like this picture. This is the Lamb Jesus Christ is. And this is Jesus Christ. This is a person. Think about that. And this through the heart. And we become part of this process. Always put Jesus in our mentally relating someone. He is not someone, the major one, the only one. Because we may think sometimes, people would ask me, or my wife, do you visit doctors when you have, some problems? First doctor, this doctor.
yourself.
Talk to Jesus first. He is the one who can help us. His flesh is the one we need to eat. So, not just, this is why I do not choose the Communion Sunday to say this. This obviously is a good Communion Sunday message, but this is even better now, because He is the Word become flesh, right? So now we do not have communion. The bread represents his flesh. Now, this is his flesh. The Word become flesh. So the flesh is his Word. Hallelujah. Okay? So no, don't just read the Word. It's eating his Word. Digestion, his Word. Do you digest? How do you digest? The form is, how do you digest? Do you digest it well? Do you apply it? Means you must have Jesus as your food. His Word is your food. Digest it. That we need to have the same process to chew it. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah 15:16 said that. He took the book and ate. He saw it in a vision. But actually, it's not a vision. It's something God used that his own experience to show that today, this is the Word we should eat them. Do you eat his Word? Namely, when you read, put your Word in your mouth. Repeat that. Put in words in your heart to think of it and also feel it. Do you feel God's words? Hey, you think God's words can feel? Yes, I tell you. You feel God's words. Jeremiah, when he read that, he felt its sweetness. When you eat either bread or rice, when you chew it, don't just swallow it so fast without salt or sweet or any other marinating or any other spices or anything. Just pure rice or wheat flour cooked, steamed or baked or whatever those. What's the end flavor? The last of that flavor. When you drink or eat, you have the leftover flavor. Something was bitter. Something you drink and the left flavor in your mouth is bitter. But rice and wheat flour products like bread or thin bread or rice, they are sweet, do you know? Those kind of foods, they have the end flavor. That's called your process of meditating or digesting God's Word. You have to put God's Word on and on and think of that. You will have more understanding of that. You understand that God is speaking to you. You see His comfort to you. Or he's teaching, hey, Philip, Pastor Zhao, you did something wrong. Oh, I felt God is burning my heart. I feel the bitterness because I sinned against God. I made wrong decision. I had a wrong way of thinking. See, the suffer part is God's way to say, hey, awake. You are stepping out of your line. You are away from my straight way. So, God's Word has this power to change our thinking, to change our ways. We need to come to read and think.
read in the reflection. Read, obey, and see if this is God's way. How do you know someone tells you something is right or wrong?
By checking it out.
Right?
When you have tests, how would your teacher say, hey, you made progress? Because he had it to check with the correct answer. Well, for ourselves too. You know, some of the tests, you can do it this way and check. Oh, right. Oh, I made wrong one or two. Not correct. This is the same way. God wants us to read the Bible and want us to try to follow. If we found something, the result is not correct, we come to the Word. Oh, Lord God, you teach me this way, but he didn't do it. So this comes out in opposite answer. Of this fruit. Not, well, God is teaching us which way is his way. And if we did something wrong, remember, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He carries the burden of our transgressions. He gives us this opportunity. Forgiveness means God gives us a second opportunity. Try again. It's a good word. Repentance is a good word. Turn around has a second opportunity. So that we need come to him. The word, the flesh. And of king. Priest offers man's burnt offering shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering that he has offered. Sheepskin is useful to write the Bible and to make clothes and as tent. You know, the wilderness traveling of those Israelites, they worship tent, tabernacle. It's made out of those sheepskin and they travel that for 40 years. And Adam and Eve, after they failed the test. They made clothes by the tree leaves, and several days the tree leaves dry, and they found themselves, oh, we're late naked, and God dealt with them, and the final before they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, God made sheepskin clothes for them. That's also a foretelling of Jesus' salvation. God already prepared that in the very beginning of the mistaken steps that the first parents made. For us too, each time we see we make mistakes, God's provision of his protection is always for us. And remember, the new behavior in Christ Jesus in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, says that we put Jesus Christ, his new behavior, the truth and holiness, the truth of righteousness and the holiness, so that now put on the good behavior according to the Bible is put on the skin of the sheep. So we are not, put this way. In Chinese we say someone is a wolf. Means he's not really a born again Christian, but he put on the sheep skin. Behaved like a sheep. That's dangerous, right? In other words, repentance must come within. From your heart. Our personality, our life, our purpose of life, our values need to be changed by the salvation of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're just a wolf inside. We have a unsaved soul, and with the behavior or appearance, come to worship, come to church activities, but not really saved. That is not what the Bible stands for. So Jesus want us to have a inside and out totally surrender to him. We need to obey him all the way, not outside behaviors. Otherwise it would be like what? Pharisees, right? They have good outside, but inside, Jesus said, they are not saved. So we need to have Jesus the Savior, the Lamb, to be our total covering, that we can be a someone God can use. Okay, this is how we connect to Christ Jesus, through His Word, the flesh, through the behavior, what He wants us to be, His skin, and we want to celebrate His salvation from our personality, from our inner being, from our value system, from our responses, and our purpose. Jehovah Jireh, God, will prepare. If you do not assure of your direction, come to Jesus. Offer yourself as living sacrifice. God will honor His promise to you. He is the Lamb of God that takes away our iniquities. Praise God. Hey, let's have some announcement. First, please pray for the formation of Youth Council and transition. Secondly, Youth Meeting now has moved to every Friday starting 5:30 between April and August. Please come and bring your friends. And number three, there are three important camps for our breakthrough is for music and worship camp from June 17 to 21 and July 15 through 19 at New Heart Music Ministries. Early registration is May 5th, so please prepare early. And this the website you can contact. And dates for D-Camp Discovery Camp is July 21st through 24, and Impact Camp is July 24th through 28. And then number four announcement is pray for Jessica Gao's summer trip, some mission trip to Thailand, and please pray for her. And also, if you may have financial support, please use this information here. And pray for the need of finding a new English pastor and the works of the search committee. And the following are the names of the birthdays. And Alan Chen and Joshua Huang, Caleb Huang, Miranda Wang, Bill Wu, Mark Chen, Tanny Zhang, and Kelly Chu. Happy birthday. God bless you. And as I say, Christian's birthday is different because you have eternal life. And your days are not days less. For your days in Jesus Christ is accumulated. Your days are blessed. So I bless everyone. Happy birthday in Christ Jesus. Your life is Jehovah Jireh. God provides you a good future, a fruitful life. And any other announcement? Also, coming Saturday morning, there is a wedding in the church, 10 o'clock. Okay, any other announcement? Please come. Yes, I said the names already. Yes, please.
I already kind of run over this on Friday, but here we go again. Well, this is about the dress code. So, Yeah, basically our only goal is to simply follow the word of God, and whether it be how to dress, how to conduct ourselves, or how to honor God, we just want to do our best. So we're not going to force any like concrete rule, and we just want you guys to think of these two verses. Here's one. It's, I'm going to read it. Okay. It's, 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. And this verse is saying to dress modestly, to guy or girl, and to dress appropriately. If you say you worship God, this next verse... Whoa, hold on. okay, this next verse is the one to focus on more. As 1 Peter 3, 2 through 5, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair or the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is the great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy woman of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. So this verse seems to be aimed at females, but it's just as applicable to males. And before any outward change happens, inner change has to happen first. So if we yearn to glorify God, all we would ever want to do is obey Him, and there won't be a restriction on specific clothing, because we just want you guys to remind yourself that you're a child of God, and everything will fall in place. So, do you want to say anything? Yeah, just kind of, before you leave, or church, you know, what you're wearing, just kind of use your self-judgment. And I know that's kind of hard to go by, but ask yourself, is this, like, appropriate? Is this modest? Is this something that I want people to see me in? You know, like, it should be reflecting your inner self. So, yeah, reflecting God. Okay.
Thank you, Andrew and Christina. And now we may have benediction. Please. Finally, brothers and sisters, be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you, because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. Have a great, blessed week.